When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday. You know what that means? Oh, that's right. It means it's friggin' Elliot. Friggin' Elliot Shore Parks for the whole hour. Elliot, how are you feeling?
Everyone's favorite favorite time of the week.
Oh, come
yeah.
On.
I always get more Tuesdays with Elliot talk when I'm out in the wild. Than,
do you?
Yeah, all
what
the
do they
time.
Say?
Yeah.
Boy, that show's so good. You
yeah.
Should, you're
they
so
say,
happy when
we
you're
wish
on
you
it.
Would stay for the top five at five.
Yeah. Wow.
They always say, wow, you sound so much more energized when you go on their show than the morning show.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's not, 7:30 in the morning. So
Elliot is brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. We'll find out all about Elliot's Los Angeles vacation a little bit
work trip
later on
work trip
well,
yeah.
Vacation
easy
work trip
easy.
Vacation
happy to partner with fans of Philly
yeah.
I respect our partners here
yeah well oh I respect our partners
I know you do
okay
yeah but they're also there they're not working you're supposed to be working
well you know
fans of Philly is not working
well, you know
having,
what
the fans are having a good time are they not having a good time
the fans but
I
PH,
he,
yes,
yeah
Joe
yeah,
is
I'm
working.
Talking about him
but I think okay. Jack's right it doesn't feel like work because it's just awesome to hang out with all the fans
there you go
yeah
all right. Would you give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? Why or why not?
So it's an interesting question. And I don't think it's as clear a yes as maybe you think I'm going to say. My only hesitation would be, I don't want, like, Nick can't become a distraction again. And if they give Nick the extension, like, today or what, it's going to become a big discussion of why'd they do this. And then if they lose, like, so I think there is some downside. But ultimately, the reason I would do it is because I think he should be the coach next year. And if they lose the first playoff game and, you know, whatever, I don't want there to be any question about it. And then you can't have him go into next year as a lame duck, right? Like, you can't have him on 1 year after this. So the benefit
sure
of giving...
Sure you can.
I don't think you can. I wouldn't
not?
Do it. Because then the whole year, the question is, like, are you going to... is he going to be back the following year? He has no power because he's a one... Like, he already gets called a puppet. So I just wouldn't have him go
which
back on a 1 year, which I agree is not. But a lot of the coach contract stuff is PR anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't count against a salary cap. It's Jeffrey Lurie's money.
Yep.
Like, he can fire him whenever. So a lot of this is mostly what's the benefit of doing it when you do it and what PR you get out of it. I think the benefit of doing it now is it squashes any debate that he might not be back next year. And I think Nick has earned the right to be back next year. Barring, like, again.
Even if they don't win a playoff game.
Even if they don't win a playoff game. Now, if they collapse, that's different. Like, but here's the thing. I don't think they're going
to. But if they don't win a playoff game,
collapse.
That's a collapse.
I'm not worrying about them collapsing.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just worrying about whether or not they show up in the playoffs playing their best football, or have they used it all up in the regular season? We get to that first playoff game, and A, we don't win it. B, he has questionable decisions in the game.
Yeah, but I just. So. First of all, let's say they go, what are they now, 9-2?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they, 6 more games, I don't know, 12 games they win, whatever. It's like a normal ending of the season.
Yeah.
And they lose one game. I'm not letting one game dictate next year's decision because Nick has a track record of winning every single year. And I also think his coaching last year actually looks a lot better in retrospect now when you see what's happening with San Francisco. Like, we can pretty much point to the one time in Nick's career where they've struggled as because they came off the Super Bowl. Like, that's it. We can talk about other things, this, that, whatever. Look at San Francisco. They're struggling as well. It's hard to come off losing the Super Bowl. The fact that they went 10-1 and made the playoffs is actually like an impressive job in some ways. So over
unless you actually went through the season and saw it all,
it wasn't fun. I agree, but
it wasn't impressive either.
But the wins are the wins, and so what you see is yeah. that ultimately
that pushed me to the other side.
I'd be curious what you disagree with. Like, yeah. 10 wins are still 10 wins. The Niners would probably kill to get to 10 wins right now. What are they, 5-6? They'd have to finish 5-1.
So you don't believe it? You don't believe that the Eagles front office should take any of the postseason into consideration and whether or not he stays here.
I think it should be in consideration, but I just don't envision a world where the postseason loss is bad enough where I would change my mind. So if I'm Jeffrey Lurie today and I'm sitting here and saying, okay, what's the downside of giving him the contract? Mm-hmm. The downside is I shell out $20 million or 30, whatever it would be, and then it's a disaster in the playoffs. I got to fire him and that money's gone. Like, that is one downside. But the positive is you end the debate now. Like, Nick for the past 3 months has had to deal with, is he a good coach? He's not. Will he be back? And I think that ends that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I largely agree with that. And
Are you choking up in there, Elliot, thinking about Nick?
I'm trying to hear what it is. Yeah, exactly.
First of all, the San Francisco thing is a little more complicated than I think you're making it out to be, in that them missing Christian McCaffrey for 10 games.
Yeah.
Like that plays into it.
It does.
But losing Brandon Ayuk in the second week of the season plays into it. Losing, what's his name?
Which one? Nick Bosa?
Greenlaw?
They lose Hargrave?
Hargrave's been out for a while.
Yeah. Hargrave the first week of the season, I think.
And Drake Greenlaw's hurt.
That's part of it. But coming up, like, when you play a Super Bowl season, like, you deal with injuries next year. And you're right, there's an extreme level of injuries. But regardless, like, everyone would agree Kyle Shanahan's a good head coach, right?
Sure.
So clearly the team's not that good this year. So
I guess what I'm not taking last year. Look, I want to give him the extension, mostly because I think it's sort of a different way of what you're saying and taking the question away. I don't want him thinking about it in the playoffs. I don't want him trying to prove his value. I don't want him thinking, if I lose this game, I don't have my job. I don't think you usually get the best out of people in that way. I think you get the most selfish version of people in that way. I don't think you get the best people.
I wish I would have knew this when you were my boss.
But I do. Yeah. I do think, well, unfortunately, I don't make all of that. I didn't make all of the decisions.
That's what you often said.
Yeah, but yeah. I know what I'm doing. But the other thing is, I'm not going to say last year that the collapse was just throw your hands in the air and say, well, it was the year after they lost the Super Bowl, so that's what happens. Last year was pretty ugly.
Last year was very ugly. I agree. It was terrible to go through. Even when they were 10-1, it didn't look great. I agree with all that. But the totality of Nick's time here has shown that that is the anomaly, and it's easy to explain away the anomaly. They were coming off the Super Bowl. If they had collapsed multiple years, then you could go, okay, this is a problem. If they had had prolonged stretches of going like 2-4, and then they would win a few, and then they go 2-4 again, or 2-5, then yeah. But outside of the end of last year, all they've done is win like huge stretches of games. They've won, what, 7 in a row now. Mm-hmm. In 2023, while it was ugly, they did start 10-1. The year before, they won 14 games. Like, they have, and even 2021, they ended that year on like winning, what, 8 of 9 or 7 of 8 or something like that. So the end of last year is the anomaly, and that would be the hesitation from people. Well, they collapsed last year. Like, oh, I don't know if I'd want. There's an easy reason to explain why it happened last year, and it was the Super Bowl. So it doesn't worry me.
That's actually a convenient excuse.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's reality. I don't think
it's reality. Yeah. I think that's part of it, but I still think it's a convenient excuse to just throw your hands up at everything else that went on inside the building or what have you and say, well, they went to the Super Bowl, so this happens to everybody. Right? Like, that's not fair. What usually happens is that team has a tough time getting back. It could be because they've lost key free agents. Mm-hmm. They had a long season that year. And so the wear and tear of the season before sort of impacts you. Although I never understood how the wear and tear of getting to the Super Bowl one year affects the losing team. But the team that won the Super Bowl, they can get back there with no
problem.
Right,
or even playing two more games. But you know what I think it is? And I could definitely be wrong because we're just psychoanalyzing here. I do think when you lose the Super Bowl, the next year the weight of that loss really gets to you when you realize maybe you're not just going to go back. You know, so I think at the end of last year when they got smoked by the Niners and like embarrassed in Dallas, I think maybe it sets in like, hey, maybe this Super Bowl we thought we were just going to walk back to, because that was the feeling in the locker room in Arizona when they lost. Of course, they were upset and sad, but the feeling I got was, hey, we're really good, and we're gonna be here next year. And it kind of softens the blow of the loss then. I agree with the physical part of it, but I think the emotional part of coming off the Super Bowl is what makes it really hard on the losing team as opposed to the winning team.
Yeah, I just don't think – I think the optics would not look good if they were to do it now. I think they are correct in worrying about doing it this early and having so much football left to be played that – you would almost have to answer for if things don't go well. I don't know if they want him back next year. I think they like Nick. I think they do. He's not irreplaceable, right? I don't believe he's irreplaceable. They have a great roster. There'd be a lot of coaches that would be lined up to want to coach this football team with this roster.
I think
players.
It's a top five job in the NFL.
So
I mean, yeah.
So if you're the Eagles, they have options. It's not as if, okay, we can't get rid of Nick Sirianni because who could do this job? Like, that's not the question. If I'm the Eagles, now, they may ultimately do what we all think they're going to do, which is give him an extension.
Yeah, they'll just do it this offseason.
Yes,
yeah.
It's just a matter of when they're going to do it. And I think it's prudent and it's actually smart to wait to do it because it lessens the pressure of them. As long as this team at least gets to the playoffs and do what they're supposed to do, they can justify at the end of the season saying, listen, look at his record. We've been in the postseason four straight years. Look what he did. We're close. We're not about to change up.
Like if they lose in Detroit, it's very easy to explain why you're extending that.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the best argument against it is not creating another Nick storyline right
yes.
now.
Right.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But think about this. Let's say they lose in the first round, but it is a loss to Green Bay. They lose 34-30. Jalen throws an interception at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's a regular game.
Regular game. Can you imagine? Then they have to extend. They don't have to. But if they want to extend him after a disappointing playoffs, you're this cycle that you're trying to avoid now.
Happens then.
And that's why, ultimately, I would do it now. Because I would rather deal with, like, the backlash now will just be, if, let's say they announce today we're giving an extension, then they lose to Baltimore, and he goes for on a fourth down, and right? Then it's like, what have you done? Like, it becomes a big thing again. I think, though, that storm is smaller than the storm of they lose in the first round, he has, you know, no playoff losses and wins in three of his seasons, and then you extend him.
Yeah.
Right.
215-592-9494. Would you extend Nick Sirianni right now? Friday, by the way, coming up, Black Friday, which you know is stressful at a lot of places, but not a Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. They want to make the Black Friday experience easier on you. You shop smarter, not harder, at Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. John Ashdale, the car czar, is there. The staff at Colonial is ready. Starting 7 a.m. on Friday, you can save up to $12,000 on any new Hyundai in stock. And you drive home with a $500 gift card with your purchase at Colonial during the Black Friday sales event. No hassle, no stress. Over 200 vehicles in stock. Save up to 12 grand. Get the $500 gift card. That is all Friday, the Black Friday sales event at Colonial. And remember, Colonial is going to give you more for your trade than anyone else. Are guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in. So make Black Friday easy. Go to Colonial, save 12 grand, get the $500 gift card up to 12 grand. Shop online 24/7 ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, men and ISP.
What up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
Guys, there's no way in hell you extend Nick Sirianni right now.
Why?
Can we please focus here? We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, not the dumpster fire 76ers, okay? He's 2-3 in the playoffs. His wins are over Daniel Jones and Josh Johnson. You do not sign that guy right now. There's no way you do this. Guys, listen, ISP, the Eagles don't throw parades for loser mentality, you know, that celebrate being a good regular season record like the Sixers and Cowboys.
Well, it's harder to win in the regular season than the NFL, for what it's worth. But you're also diminishing going to the Super Bowl. I agree. It was not the toughest path, for sure. I agree with that. But they still went to the Super Bowl. And I just ultimately think if Nick's your head coach, you know every year you'll be in the playoffs. That's like what his track record has proven. It is. He's 3-3.
We want winners here.
Nick is a winner. In fact, actually, I don't know if you heard this stat, Chris, but I'll share it. Nick has the highest winning percentage among all active NFL head coaches. Number one. And if you look all time, he's sixth.
And not nonsense, not rhetoric, not spin.
It's not spin, it's a stat.
And winning. He's two. Yeah, facts are two. He's 2-3. He hasn't beaten anybody that's good. He had one of the most talented teams, and he beat two subpar teams on their way to the
He demolished
Super Bowl.
Those teams.
The facts are he lost last year to Baker Mayfield in the playoffs. The facts are he hasn't beaten anybody good in his coaching career. So we're saying we're not doing that until he actually beats somebody good. And we see.
You mean in the playoffs he hasn't beat anybody good is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Like, you know this.
Why? Well, you said he hasn't beat anybody
good. Also, I think the Baker loss, like the Bucks are good.
I know ISP likes to throw parades for MVPs.
Well, I bet you wish you hung that and beat MVP banner now because,
well. Hold on, though, Chris.
No more banners going up.
It's amazing what everybody conveniently talks about the year they went to the Super Bowl. It's like when I say they only beat the Giants and the 49ers on their fourth quarterback or whatever, everybody's like, they went to the Super Bowl, they went to the Super Bowl, they went to the Super Bowl. But now when I'm talking about extending Sirianni, it's like, he hasn't even beat anybody in the playoffs. I mean, is that the way that you felt when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl? That this is easy. They didn't even beat anybody. Is that how you felt that year?
That year I was way overconfident, like most of us, because we were rolling and we were.
Why do you think they were rolling?
The fact that we were thumping those teams was we were caught up in the ride, okay? And we did have a very good, talented team, which was why we were winning. And not because Nick Sirianni was out coaching anybody, and not to say.
Well, but that's just not true, Chris.
That's not why we were winning. So we don't reward that guy with the contract until he proves that he could do it in the playoffs when it's a legit, hey, you're up against a real team, a real coach, a real quarterback, and you actually have to win a game. And that's what we're saying here. That's all that my point is, and the rest of the same people out there are saying, look, until a guy proves that he's able to do it at a championship level like Andy was able to do, even though
Andy never won a Super Bowl here.
Playoffs, that's not what I said. So listen.
I am listening. You said a championship
nerves,
level.
Okay, take the worm out. I know it's wedged in there.
Right.
It's a little difficult.
Right.
So what we're saying is he's got to prove himself that he's able to take that next level. Because, again, I'm just repeating myself at this point. We're not the Cowboys here. We don't care about being a good regular season.
No, what the Cowboys do – hold on, Chris. What the Cowboys do is not extend people until they're pissed off and then have a bad season when they wait too long to extend everybody.
In the playoffs, so it doesn't matter what they do, other than back in the 1990s, right. Spike, when you and I actually were teenagers. Okay, so it's been that long. So, guys, that's where I'm at with this. I don't want to hear Nick. When Nick proves himself in the playoffs, then we could talk about this. But until now, you guys said all the right things. There is no reason to extend him. He's got another year on this deal. His money, it's not like, oh, well, we sign him early to save against the cap. It's totally different for the head coaches. So there's no point in it. And for an ownership that had to sit there and take a pause at the end of last year to decide whether or not they even wanted to bring him back and give us some nonsense about the weather was the reason why, they're telling you the same thing. They're saying, hey, he's doing great. We'll see. So I really think that that's where we're at. I'm right with them. We'll see.
All right, Chris. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know what I'm surprised about? So obviously, Ike has his reasons he might not do it now, but yours are more cautionary than a question about Nick,
yeah,
I would say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just surprised how many people still don't think Nick's a good head coach.
And
you're surprised at that?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't know what else he has to do. They just won 7 straight games. Every game we say is a trap game. They go out and they show up every week, right? They went into Cincinnati. They beat the Bengals handedly, right? The Rams game I thought was a trap game. They dominated that game. So if people are just stuck in their ways with Nick and still don't think he's a good head coach, then I get why you wouldn't want to extend him, because you probably wouldn't want to be the head coach. But I'm just surprised that after everything he's accomplished, again, number one winning record among all active head coaches, it just floors me people still won't admit he's a good coach.
I'm with you on that. I'm just not surprised by it.
Yeah.
And the difficult thing with his role is that there's nothing, and we've talked about this before, which is why it's easy to blame him and hard to give him credit, especially if you don't like him,
right?
Is that there's nothing you can assign to it, to him, aside from them winning games.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning games thing, even though it's the point of everything, feels empty in an argument, which is why I think that people are just waiting and seeing.
So I agree that the assigning things is difficult, but this year, Jalen turned it around once they started running the ball more. And so I know people will pin that on the offensive lineman for going in and talking to Nick. But it is exactly what they did in 2021 when they shifted to a run-first approach and it turned the season around for Jalen. So obviously that's Nick.
No, yeah, and I give him credit for listening to his offensive line as well. And by the way, going to Kellen Moore, who I'm sure doesn't want to run the ball 45 times a game.
Certainly not in the early downs.
No, well, even in general. I mean, it doesn't show off anything.
Yeah, it doesn't make him... Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, it doesn't show what he's got.
It's not getting him a head coach shot.
We haven't brought this up yet. So Adam Schefter reported today that Shaq Barrett, who last played for the Bucks, I believe.
Yeah, played for the Bucks last year.
Played for the Bucks has already said he was retiring in July, but has applied to be reinstated to play. Now, does he have to clear waivers? Is that what it has to say? Because he signed a contract with Miami, yes?
I believe he is under contract with Miami. So if he were to be reinstated, he would have to be released in order to then be signed. I believe that is how it works. Now,
okay.
I guess in season, actually, you go through waivers no matter what, because Daniel Jones did.
So, after they release him, he would have to go through waivers.
Correct. It's not like a training camp where you're a vested veteran. You don't do it. But I believe he will go through waivers.
Would you guys consider if they granted his release and put him on waivers, do you think the Eagles should take a shot and do you think they would take a shot?
I certainly would bring him in to see if he's in shape and see what he could potentially provide in sort of a sub package or sub row. The one thing about playing defensive line, that's one of the easier positions to sort of just step right into. We saw what Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph did when they were sitting on the sidelines all year.
Yep.
And the Eagles put them in the first week. They signed on a Tuesday. They were playing
like
that Sunday.
Like 15 plus snaps too. Yeah, like they were out there. Yeah.
So that's one. Yeah, I mean, they are, and I know Nick talked about having faith in the young guys, but it's a different role that's being asked to be played, and it's getting late in the year, and you're going to be playing tougher games, and you need experienced guys out there who's been in the moment, who understands the moment. So I certainly would want a veteran player. And a guy like Shaq Barrett, I mean, he's a world champion. He's been on the Super Bowl team. You know he can get after the quarterback. It's kind of ironic. He's kind of built like Brandon a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of built like Brandon.
I think he wore 55, too.
58.
Better number. That's what they say.
Just saying.
He can't have 58 here.
He can't have 58.
Jalen says 58.
Well, he damn sure ain't getting 55.
And he's not getting 55. Yeah. So, I don't think anyone's getting 55 again.
Yeah.
But
does anybody wear 56?
Steen. I think Steen wears 56.
Oh, he wears 56.
He does.
I was surprised. When I looked at Shaq Barrett's numbers for last year, they were really good. Like, I thought it would be, okay, he's probably retired. I'm just saying, he had 56 hits, sacks, and hurries last year. That was, like, top 25 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he was signed by the Dolphins. I don't think he retired because he can't play anymore. He retired at the time he cited because he wanted to spend more time with his family. And
He didn't like his contract.
Well, maybe. But I'm saying his numbers last year were very good.
Well, so were the other. Ike mentioned this before the show. We signed another linebacker who was on Tampa who had good numbers last year.
And he can play. They are the ones that made the mistake not putting him out there.
Devin White?
Talking about Devin White,
saying Devin White can play.
Wow.
Zach Bond and Nakobe have been awesome. They were right about that. But I don't think we can say Devin White can't play. He never played
Shut
here.
Shut his hole!
He never played here.
Well, you don't trust Fangio in that respect, saying, hey, this guy's not going to play.
Look, Fangio's been awesome, but I'm saying I think if you put Devin White on this defense, he would play well.
More impressive coaching job this year, Sirianni or Fangio?
Well, Sirianni, I mean, he hired Fangio. So.
Well,
all right. At least we got a smirk there. Coming up
next, I would sign Shaq. I would sign Shaq Barrett
if he were available to be signed.
Signing damn near anybody that's on the street right now.
Yeah.
Well, also looking back at the friggin' trade deadline, maybe.
You might have had a point.
Well, especially with Bryce out too.
Yes. Well, also forgetting about Bryce out at the time.
It's addition by subtraction.
Yeah. Elliot thinks all the bad players are also good.
He's been my thing for all my time.
I think just looking back at the deadline, the only thing that you should have, at least they should have considered, is that not that Brandon wasn't playing well, is that he was 36 and playing well.
Yep.
And playing more than they planned on. And, mm-hmm. and you know, injuries happen, but
who knows? You knew that was more likely to happen if he kept playing at the pace he was playing.
All right, 215-592-9494, and we will play you the audio next of John Ritchie bullying Brandon Graham on the morning show today.
I've not heard this.
Bullying. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.